we're in an era of exploration.
Yeah.
And so we don't have everything figured out. People want all these things, but they want it in a very condensed, nice box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like AI cliff notes, you know, like here's the secrets to the kingdom or the keys to the kingdom and like run with it.
We want AI IKEA.
There's just simple little instructions.
You just, we haven't gotten there yet, y'all. Yeah. There's too much variables to consider as we're trying to get this built out. And it's still the Wild Wild West. A lot of it is still heavily unregulated.
Yeah.
I mean, and I do want to switch gears and talk to the different industries that you've either thought through, worked with, from either pharma and healthcare to restaurants to e-com, because that's a different experience. It's not, you know, one cut fits all. You really have to, not just even with regulations, but just with utility. How do we integrate but still keep data safe and privacy? Has anyone even thought about that? Even if you had your own self-contained ecosystem, you know, how do you use this utility but still be under the same regulations of HIPAA?
Yeah, the fun part is, so some of these questions are big, hairy, ugly questions we've been trying to answer digitally for quite some time. Like, it's just because now there's this puck or there's your phone, there's something listening. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, what about my data?
Have you ever wondered what unicorns eat for breakfast? Okay, to be honest, I don't actually know. But what I do know and what I can tell you, something equally as interesting and unicorn related. Here are the facts. Over 20% of all unicorn startups are using HubSpot. HubSpot's all-in-one platform levels up your sales, your software, and your support so you can grow beyond your wildest dreams. Cue the Taylor Swift reference. Boosting leads and ramping sales along the way. They even have a constantly evolving collection of resources to help startups scale. Plus, with the HubSpot for Startups program, trust me, you can save up to 90% off your first year. To see if you're eligible to save on HubSpot, visit.
We've been trying to answer this question for a few years, and I'm not going to kick it down the road, but the digital profile you've created in a world pre-cookielessness is a pretty, pretty robust creature and digital twin of yourself. We have been, though, forced to think about that a little bit more, and that's where my little button shows of the Open Voice Network, of thinking about how do we do that ethically? How do we make sure that when these regulations are coming down, they're not knee-jerk? Because we are seeing some of that, because there are bad actors of, I'm going to use this to make my quick buck. I can tell you, in any technology, there's the quick buck and then there's the actual longevity useful buck. There are no overnight millionaires, unfortunately.
What's up, digital world? You're listening to the I Digress audio experience with Troy Sandage. Social media, marketing, storytelling, business, culture, and more. Coming to you in 3, 2, 1.
You know, we're talking a lot about the back end, right? The ways that the systems tie in, the natural language processing. There's also the whole front end of, what am I talking to? What am I having that conversation with? What happens when, as I laughingly say, voice and tone, it becomes voice and then tone, because it is that personality of becoming real. What are then the additional cues? I mean, audio branding is a whole other riff of an area that is fascinating, of how you can use that from UI elements to brand elements so that you can balance brand and utility, because no one wants to hear a monologue. No one wants even to be interacting with something that just talks about itself. No, I mean, you don't talk to a person like that. So it's, how do we make that an organic conversation? Well, then we have to think about the thing, is that feed into that. Well, there's going to be audio cues and audio listening and then audio branding. So that whole, like, there is this whole other area that I quite honestly think can continually get a lot better, that can use AI, from the idea of, how do I make my creative better? But how do I even make that? What are those foundations to pull that out? I'm always inviting more UXers and brand strategists. Please come to the party, because we do need you for that stuff. And no, you don't have to code it. Oh. You know,
well, like the idea of a full stack conversational person, like that was the case 5 years ago, but as things have progressed and there's been some specialization in the industry, it's just like what happened with user experience or content or anything else. Like, yes, you could do it all, but it's probably not going to be as good as if you had professionals in other disciplines to bring their point of view to the world and help you think through things that maybe you hadn't thought through before. On the healthcare side, I mean, obviously HIPAA is always a consideration and always something right. that we struggle with, but a lot of times it's used as an excuse to not try innovation. And there's plenty of ways you can actually use AI that don't require any sort of HIPAA regulation. So like for disease education and helping people find information quicker, voice search, optimizing your content so that if people use their phone and they're doing a search, they find your content on your website. And that technically is using AI, and it's kind of using the algorithms that Google has for search or Bing on the Alexa side. But at the end of the day, those are things you can already do that don't require any sort of HIPAA compliance, because you're not talking about, you know, my condition and my personal information and having those kind of two things tied together. So there's a lot of things you can do before you get to the HIPAA piece. But then even with HIPAA, like if you voice enable your mobile app, you know, your HIPAA compliance and your data privacy and all that stuff from the app will actually cover what you're doing with the voice component of it. So it's just looking at ways to be aware of, you know, the specific requirements of HIPAA and data security and things like that, but looking for ways that we can enhance existing experiences. And I think on the healthcare side, that's where a lot of people are focusing their efforts. And then, you know, we've done things on the entertainment side. We've done things on the retail and restaurant side. And so there's varying degrees, and it's really those four industries. So it's retail, healthcare, restaurants, and entertainment that are kind of leading the charge when it comes to AI, conversational AI, and voice. Not to say that other industries aren't also actively looking at it, like finance. You see a lot of assistance, you know, from Bank of America and things like that. But generally, when you look at it, those are the four industries that are really investing heavily. But on the flip side, from our consumer research, those are the four industries that people are most interested in using their voice or conversational AI to interact with that brand. So like it's kind of this perfect marriage where those are the ones that are kind of leading the charge. And then it'll trickle down to all the other industries, because as you start to do it with, you know, your personal stuff, it starts as a novelty and it kind of goes all the way to how did I live without this? So the more you interact with it, the more you have success and you're able to find the information you're looking for. It's like, well, what else can I do with it? Start trying more and more things, and then you're going to start to explore with different industries and different tasks that you're trying to complete.
I feel like we're at a point, and I'll switch gears slightly to a lot of marketing business who are on this high level of FOMO. Any new app, any new buzzword that's associated, it's the running joke with marketing. You put any word in front of marketing, it's a whole new discipline. It doesn't matter what it is. You put any word in front of it, someone's going to trademark it. I have a whole new discipline and marketing. I feel like it's the same thing with AI. You put AI at the end of anything, and oh my goodness, it's like you just put on a sticker and it sells.
Well, I was going to say, when we were at the Restaurant Association show here in Chicago, there were a couple of people that were in AI, and they had a booth, and it literally says, we do AI. And so we were like, all right, that's cool. Let's go talk to them and find out. So it's like, well, what kind of AI you do? And they're like, oh, you know what you're talking about. So like it's, oh, these are predictive people. Okay, these are conversational people. But I think it, to that point, like we're still kind of at the, this is AI. It's not what flavor of AI is it. It's, you know, just kind of that umbrella understanding. So that's something that, you know, recently we saw at a conference. And I think we were probably some of the only people that actually could say, all right, so what part of AI are you, or what are you trying to accomplish with your system?
I love that you asked this question, because I want people to think through that.
Yeah.
When not only within their own business, like what part of this massive umbrella that we're unraveling here that we need to focus on and work through first.
Yeah.
And it may not be the sexiest part of it either that everyone wants to jump to. Let's be real. Like, and I think also it's kind of like people think they'll put a chatbot on a website and expect higher conversions just because they put a chat bot on the website and it pops up in the corner.
Right.
Have you thought through the flow of steps? One, to compel someone, the right colors, is it accessible? Is it the right font? Is it the right placement? Does it pop up at the right time? Is it a nuisance? Is it a convenience when they click on it? How's the flow? How's the UX experience? What are we thinking through? Is it feels like a human is engaging, or is it fabricated and I'm turned away and I'm my bounce rate mm-hmm. is on your website is through the roof. Like, have you thought through that before? We're just saying add a chatbot to the website, and I expect. But I feel this is the expectation or the delusion, dare I say, of many who have went to one conference,
yep.
watched one video, did one thing in ChatGPT that they thought did something they didn't expect it to. And they're like, we're going to get gold. Let's go all in and invest all in. How do you slow people down to that regard and kind of bring them back, not to destroy their zeal, but to maybe shine a better light of practicality into what they're trying to really do?
Yeah, that's kind of our, hey, Copernicus, let's navigate back to the front of the line. I mean, and honestly, yeah, 100%. I've just put a chatbot on it and I'm using my frequently asked questions, which, by the way, when I was talking about my content before, is an elephant's graveyard of stuff that I couldn't fit in the rest of the website. And I think it's frequently asked questions, but it's really just stuff I didn't know how to organize. That's like, okay, strike one.
Well, I mean, let's face it. FAQs are always what a copywriter comes up with at the last minute because we need an FAQ page. Crap,
yeah.
Like, here's the things we think people might want to know, but there's some seldomly really frequently asked. So like that right there is a thing. Like, Google indexes FAQs now. They're indexing mm-hmm. podcast content. Mm-hmm. Like, this has to be truly frequently asked in order for your answer to show up. So it's forcing people to be more intentional with their content for sure.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, all of it kind of comes back to a content problem, right? Yeah. How do I get the information? What's the type of experience? And I was just talking with someone earlier today about that, of like, in generally it's, you know, is it informational? Is it transactional? Or is it social? And social is not really that often, because as much as we love our brands, no one really wants to sit and talk with the brand for hours or even minutes. I know, blasphemy. It's coming back to thinking about what is it we're actually trying to solve in the first place. I hate to sound like everything old is new again, but back in my early days of working in promotional marketing, and they'd be like, we want to do a coupon. And it's like, well, do you really want to do a coupon? Or do we need to figure out a loyalty program that generates repeat purchase over time and value and really loyalty? As opposed to moving more product. I mean, as much as I say, a lot of the clients we work with, at the end of the day, when it comes down to what the measurable objective is, it's like, get more share, move more product, sell more services. And I remember a very smart strategy person I worked with before was like, don't let that make you sad. Like, those are the things, because you're not running a not-for-profit. We have to make sure that the business stays and those goals don't get lost. But the reality is if we're going back to those arch problems, then we can think about the right technology for those things. Every time someone said there is a killer app, an angel lost its wings. My new thing now is, anytime anyone tells me use AI for an instant assistant, an instant solution, an instant whatever, that's a more angels are dropping out of the sky. Right. Like, it's not instant. And anyone who tells you otherwise is, I believe, to quote Princess Bride, trying to sell you something. And that's, I mean, very much, it's the, let's stop for a minute, pause, think about what we're truly going to solve. And then let's break it down into those things so that we can make progress without spending a load of money against something that may not work. Because the reality is when we do these things, and no matter how much user testing we do, the minute I throw that out there live, there's going to be like, I don't know, 15% of people who just, I'm like, I would have never even thought to go that way. But we can learn from that. And that's the other amazing thing about these conversational experiences, is we get verbatims that are anonymous, for the record, anonymous, but that are telling us these are what people are asking for. So frequently asked questions really do get frequent. When I understand, well, no, they actually want to do this. And that points back to the model that Scott was talking about before, of there's four distinct mind shift changes that happen to your audience, regardless if they're that early adopter, the laggard, mainstream, what have you. And it's, why would I ever want to use that? Then they're like, okay, fine, I'll try it out. This is where fart skills live. I'll be honest, anything, if you think about when your phone made that noise, then we had Alexa farting. I mean, I swear all roads begin with humor and novelty. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was successful. What else can I do? And then eventually, as those experiences become successful, we end up in the land of, how do I even live without this? And that's how we went with smartphones, If you think about the first time everyone had the signature on their first iPhone was, it was, you know, please excuse typos, but someone laughingly said, oh, I'm just messing about because I'm not using a BlackBerry. And then we moved into, oh, this is helpful. Now, my day sucks more if I forget my phone than if I forget my wallet. Mm-hmm. So that is those mind shifts that have happened. Those are the behavior shifts. And those are the things we can, as marketers, market to as we think about where's the right place of where that intersection of where I'm going to be able to solve my audience's problems, but where else am I going to be able to continue to drive my brand forward to? Because we're not doing this for charity. Yeah. We're doing this to be able to solve problems and help and meet needs.
Talking Too Loud, hosted by Chris Savage, is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. On this podcast, Chris Savage, Wistia CEO and AKA the loudest talker ever, takes you inside the minds of entrepreneurs as they share the hilarious, informative, and most challenging aspects of building more human brands. What does it mean to build more human brands? How do you formulate that? How do you construct that? And how do you tell the world about it? Well, I don't know. You should go check out Talking Too Loud with Chris Savage wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, and you said it, Troy. A lot of times the problems that we're solving aren't sexy, but they do make a big impact for the organization. Yeah. So a lot of times we'll see internal initiatives happening, never going to make it public, but you know, we'll hear things about, oh, we're using it in the warehouse to help people pick products a little bit more efficiently, or we're using it for back of house and restaurants to help people know exactly how to make this Big Mac or whatever. But just thinking about it from an operational standpoint, there's tons of things that you can do to use AI to streamline, make things more efficient, like SharePoint and accessing information on SharePoint. How awesome would it be to be able to say, you know, find me last year's report on XYZ and just have it find it versus you digging through the navigation in SharePoint. So like, are there things internally that you can make the organization more efficient, help that knowledge share, especially if you're an organization across the country or across the world, and actually have those silos kind of be broke down, or be able to ask Excel for, you know, what were last week's sales numbers, and be able to dig into it and be able to interact with the spreadsheet in a conversational way, asking questions, but having the data come in the way you need it to. The analytics thing is especially important because, like, as a UXer, I always used to have to request a data pull, and then they would pull the report for me. I'd have to go through it versus just being able to say, what's the bounce rate on this page, or, you know, what's the click-through rate or the conversion rate or whatever. Like, just being able to have access to that information and not have to have someone physically pull the data and potentially even interpret it for me and actually have the system do it would be a huge time saver. And you think about that across all the organizations that exist, like, your profitability is going to go through the roof just because you don't have that middle person, not gatekeeping, but just due to the lack of time and being able to pull it when you need it.
No, that lands. And I think, to your point, all the time, and I'm hopefully Siri doesn't respond when I say it, but instead of me having to remind myself to do something, go through all the steps, yes, here, can you remind me to do this by this date, by this time, to this person, and it's done.
Yeah.
I just save so much time and mental energy.
Yes.
Just by having the functionality to speak and let it be so, not to replace me, but to be an aid to me.
Well, and that's why discovery is so critical, and we're such big proponents of it. Like, we kind of got away from discovery and actually understanding business objectives, user needs when it comes to the web. Because we've got all this historical data, we can look back and, oh, we know how it works on the web. We don't need to do that. But when it comes to this conversational thing, like, Troy, the way you ask for something, the way I ask for something could be totally different. Could mean the same thing, but the word choices or accents, all those things could be different. So, like, first and foremost, like, you got to kind of suss that out. But if you don't know your customer journey, if you don't know your audience types and the personas and their triggers, like, start there. Like, those are the basics that you absolutely have to have nailed down. Because like Sue said, like, if you don't, it's just going to exacerbate those issues. It's not going to solve the issues. It's just going to make it worse because you're spending all this extra cash investing in a technology when you don't have those basic knowledge points done.
If people can start looking at AI as an aid and an adjacent to what we're doing, I mean, our jobs are already hard. The reason why AI is so practical now, the technology is moving so fast, the demands are moving so fast, everything's shifting. We, as a human, as amazing and brilliant, as complicated as we are, can only do so much. Yeah. And so having an aide to help us save time, save resources, being able to process things at a higher level, not to say it's to replace us, because you still need someone to train it, to feed it, to condition it to how you need to see the world.
Yeah.
It's not trying to replace us. Now, to that replacement piece part, though, I feel it's the same way to when social media really started being for social selling and positioning for businesses. There's a whole new dynamic of education. We now need to apply to elevate the off the principles that we already know. And to your point, Susan, earlier when you're like, put digital in front of it, oh my God, what is happening here? I know about newspaper. It's the same foundational principles, but we're navigating in a digital format. So in the same way, we're moving into conversational AI and all these different things that we're trying to do. Look, we're going to be at a point now where people are going to ask Google, they're going to ask Alexa, they're going to ask Siri, this thing. Where are you going to come up in this race? Everyone's trying to be the first page on Google, but where are you at in the first option or two when they ask you? You only have one chance.
And the thing of that is think about the conversation. So, you know, SEO, some of the thinking has been, I want to hit for these keywords or my branded keywords, which is a whole other ballgame because we shouldn't forget those. Those are really important because, like, I always think of it as being in a bar with call brands. You can order a gin and tonic, or I can have someone say, I would like a Bombay and tonic. Very different results. Same thing. That's the world we're living in now, where it's about the questions and the request, not just the word. Because just like as just like if I did a search right now of what is AI, well, that's a rabbit hole and a half. But if I want to know what generative AI is, or I add some more descriptors, then I get to the answers I want. So that's how we have to start thinking about SEO. But the other thing that comes with it, and again, this is like, as you were saying, like put that moniker in front of it. Good SEO, good like good voice SEO, good conversational SEO starts with good traditional SEO. If you don't have your schema marked up right, if you don't have your H1 set, you need to go back to school and get that done. And that's our cautionary tale on all of this. If what you're doing right now isn't working, throwing more technology at it probably will not solve it. There are a couple of cases, sure, it might. But if your house foundation is crumbly, you're just going to be putting more stuff on that crumbly foundation. So you're not going to get the bang for your buck. So invest that money. And we've had to have that conversation of, before we dive down this path, let's get this part of the house in order. Because that way, then it'll make it easier to implement on the other side, because we'll be clear about what conversations we want to have. So if I'm doing from a voice search perspective, it is the conversations about my brand and around my brand. There's adjacent, if you have a product and it's use cases or it's applications, those are things you're going to show up for. Do you want to be in that conversation? So it very much covers under EAT, the good old Google principles of EAT, but it's also then making sure that you've got the linking and that you're there, that you have the answer for the questions that matter most, not all the questions, the ones that matter most.
The other thing to know is your users' needs don't change depending on what technology they're interacting with. Now, if they're in awareness phase or consideration phase, purchase phase, those needs are different. But those needs are the very same, whether they're watching a video, reading long form content, asking a question to a chat bot. So at the end of the day, it's identifying what is someone trying to accomplish or achieve at each one of those phases. And then if it's appropriate, how do we move them from awareness to consideration? How do we move them from consideration to purchase? Yep. And then ultimately, how can we use it to conversational AI or AI in general for retention? Like, can we make better recommendations? Can we use it for advocacy? What are those different things where we can actually help, you know, retain our audiences and make things better for them? So it really, as unsexy as this is, it's going back to those basics and really identifying your audience, knowing your marketing funnel, knowing those triggers and the messages that resonate. Because if they resonate elsewhere, they're probably going to resonate here. Yeah. And sure, you have to adjust it so that it's appropriate, it feels natural. But at the end of the day, like, it's really nailing those basics and then looking for ways that you can enhance those experiences.
What goes to my mind is really on anchoring familiarity in order to accelerate performance.
Yeah.
And you need those touch points. Like you said, honestly, you could go on the South Side of Chicago, at North Side of Chicago, same facility, talk different, we think different. Yeah. You know, are you Cubs or White Sox? Like, what's going on? You know, what are the enough anchor points for me to consider this familiar to me?
Yeah.
To remove my resistance in order to go to the next phase and the next step, which may include more additional conversational AI or lack thereof, but it's all about mapping. And I don't think we do enough ideation and mapping before we start this process. What is the architect? How are we structuring this whole thing? You don't just go ahead and want to build a skyscraper bigger than the Sears Tower or the Willis Tower. Now I'm still calling it the Sears Tower.
Yeah, Sears Tower. Yeah.
It is what it is at this point. But I digress. I think in the same way, how do we get more people to see it requires more effort? I was going to say earlier, real quick, it's probably going to be a dime for us. We should do a campaign. We buy the domain Instant AI and market it to no end. But when people go to the site, they scroll, there's a nice hero. It's like, ooh, and it's like, you're not ready.
Yeah.
And it's all it is just educational pieces, getting them on the boat to realizing it's not as instant. There's nothing instant about this at all.
Yeah, it actually reminds me, there was a website, and I assume it's still up, shouldiuseacarousel.com? And literally you visit the URL and it says no. And then there's like other, you know, support points on why you shouldn't use a carousel. But it's a similar type of a thing where it's like, you know, people have a thing to sell. So like whether it's a chatbot or a voice assistant or ChatGPT hacks or whatever, like I got a thing, a tactic that I want to sell. And it's like, how do we take that step back? How do we actually look at the entire ecosystem and say, all right, it can apply anywhere. Where is it going to make the most inroads for us? And whether it's audience facing or internal facing, like kind of take that step back and try to be more intentional with it. And then, like you said, map to existing things and say, all right, this problem over here, we solved it 10 different times. Maybe we don't need to address it in AI, but this one over here, we've never touched. And that's actually a perfect candidate. So it's looking at it from a holistic standpoint, and really, as much as I hate the term omni-channel or multi-channel, it's where within that ecosystem that you've already created does this fit? What tools that you're already using, like a lot of the Adobe tools have AI built into it. Your audience is probably using tools that have AI components in it, whether they know it or not. And it's just like, how do we activate it and see how it can personalize our CRM and get better open rates or whatever our goals are, but like making sure we understand those goals before we start to try to jam another technology or another tactic somewhere.
And that's a wrap. We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Digress. What was your takeaway? Care to share your thoughts and tag Troy on social media? You can find him on all platforms at Find Troy. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review or comment for this episode from wherever you're listening. Looking for a marketing strategist to build the structure, strategies, and systems you need to get the success you want and the ROI you desire in your business? Book a discovery call to talk with Troy at findtroy.com. And as Troy's philosophy goes, imagination is the engine, content is the fuel, social media is the highway, marketing is the roadmap, sales is the destination, culture is the GPS. Thanks for listening.